Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I'm your host. So it is another What's On Your Mind. So we've got Jason here. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Good. Yeah. I'm glad the sun seems to have gone down a little bit now that you can take your sunglasses off.
Yeah, man. I was in my Ice Cube NWA mode.
Yeah. trying to look badass, and you didn't, but whatever. The website, thedetailsolutionspodcast.com, that's where you can go to find all the links to listen to the podcast. If you're catching us on YouTube and you don't know that we have a podcast, you can go there. It's also where we have our preferred vendor page, where you can see all of our links to our vendors, which are our gracious sponsors. It's also going to have their coupon code, so you can go use their coupon code and save some money. And yeah, scrolling at the bottom there. And please, 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 I can't stress this enough. Make sure you use the codes. I know a lot of people like myself get on there and order something and then pay for it and send it and go, shit, I didn't save any money. I didn't use the codes. But that is how these people track if you guys are actually buying stuff from because of the podcast and how they keep supporting us. So please go do that. And then also we have the merch store there. I don't know. I might take that damn thing down because nobody's buying the shirts or hats or whatever.
It's a tough game, man. It's a tough game.
It is. But you know what, man? I'm not in the apparel game, but somebody who is in the apparel game is you, Jason. And
yeah, I am.
You're trying to sell some more of those Kong Assassin shirts. So
of course, anybody who's watching can see the lovely logo that is in the top right hand corner. Alan, yeah. If you don't mind, there you go.
There you go. Alan's pointing right to it. Yeah, and then again, we are live on YouTube streaming whenever we do these, normally on Wednesday and Friday night, but tonight as we're recording this is a Monday because that was Alan's only open day this week.
It's tough being president, man. Got that crazy schedule.
Exactly. So again, you can check us out on YouTube, the Detail Solutions Podcast. Please go like, share, comment, subscribe, hit the notification button so you know when we are doing these. Jason, you kind of brought something up that surprised me the other day. Was you said we have like 82 followers or 82 subscribers.
We have 82 subscribers as we speak. I want to know what are we up to right now on the listen count?
Dude, we're so close, but I feel like we cheated a little bit. Thanks to a couple of this.
There ain't no cheating in this game.
Well,
ain't no cheating in the listening game.
A few listeners put on like 5 computers just to run like start to finish.
Dude, they love us that much. They need every
I know, but still, I mean, I love you guys for doing that. We are at 69,825. So we are 400. We are 175 away from that magic 70 that I was trying to get for the end of the year. So thank you everybody for doing that. Mobile Tech Expo, we're getting closer to that. We're super excited. January 26th through the 28th, 2023. If you are coming and haven't purchased tickets yet, mobiletechexpo.com, you can use the code DSP15. You'll save 15% off of your ticket price. And then while you're there, please go over to mobiletechexpo.com/golden-mic or golden-mic and make sure to give us a nod for the Golden Mic Award. I know there's a lot of good detailing podcasts out there that probably deserve it, but I think we deserve it more because I'm selfish.
Be honest. It's okay.
This whole intro, but that has done me.
Yeah. it's not a vote. It is based off of
your words. You know,
yeah, your words, what you actually write. So if they can't come from the heart, then lie. And then please, anywhere that you're following us, whether it's social media or on a podcast forum or listener platform, please like, share, subscribe, follow, hit the notification bell. And then also please leave us a good review, especially with Spotify and Apple. That definitely helps push us into the "you also might like" category. So people who are listening to other detailing podcasts or automotive podcasts or things like that, we will show up in that. So on to introduce our guest. He might not be your president, but he is my president. He also did the Scottish voice of my balls in a Manscaped ad.
Did someone guess that in the end, or was it still a secret till now?
I mean, some people knew about it, but I think maybe it's everybody will know about it now. So Mr. Alan Medcraft, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
How's your balls?
My balls are clean and fresh.
They're fantastic, thanks to Manscaped.
Exactly. Thank you, Manscaped. Exactly.
We love the wipes.
Yeah. I gotta get on them and find out if we're getting wipes this month. So we had an idea. Jason and I had an idea. I don't even remember what we were talking about. Something about detailers and businesses and whatever. The light bulb hit, and we started kind of like, you know, I think the question that I posed to Jason was I bet some detailers think that their business is worth way more than it possibly is, or maybe it is. And then shortly after that, I noticed on Facebook, a local detailer was selling his business. And I was like, oh my God, like this is, you know, kismet or whatever. So I had reached out to him to find out, like, you know, hey, what are you selling it for? Just curious, you know, how did you come up with that number? Just curious, whatever. And so I told Jason, I said, man, like maybe we should do a show on, like, you know, how do you, you know, value your business? How would you sell your business? Whatever. In the meantime, I had been pestering Alan for probably the last, I don't know, however many months, like, dude, we need to get you back on the podcast. And he's like, yeah. Like, I got some shit going on. Can't talk about it. Want to talk about it, but can't talk about it until, and if you guys haven't noticed or haven't seen the news, but Alan has sold AM Details and the chemical business. So I said, hey, Alan, we've got this topic. And he's like, I probably wouldn't be the best guest because I didn't really think of anything or do anything. And then he's like, well, maybe I would be a good guest because I could just talk about a bunch of shit. And so I was like, cool, let's get him on. So here he is. So
wait, you sold your detail business or the chemical side of it?
Both.
Oh, well, congratulations, man. That's huge. That's news to me. So
you get two responses. You get the dudes that go, oh, congratulations. And the other guys go, what's wrong? What's happened?
Yeah. Did COVID get you that hard? Gosh.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah, because that's the thing, right? I mean, like, since COVID, there's so many guys are shutting down or trying to sell their business or whatever. So, I mean, that's, I would think that would probably be a pretty natural question for you, but why, let's jump into your side of it first before maybe we talk about the topic. Why did you sell your business?
So I guess the first thing we should do is break down what I owned before I sold it, right? I think, because there's okay. Jason going, what? So in essence, you guys will just know me as Alan Medcraft, and, you know, having the AM brand, and we kept things simple. Originally just a car detailing business. All right. So yeah. A car detailing business, two bays, nothing big, crazy. And we were serving, you know, pretty small demographic, but in a very remote area. So we did really well in being able to sell the type of service that we deliver, and having people travel for it. So that was the detailing business. Then the chemicals came by accident. And they kind of boomed naturally because I turned to YouTube due to a friend who told me I should do it. And then, I always say high five to those guys. I couldn't love those guys anymore. And I want to come back to YouTube, which hopefully selling the businesses allow me to do, to re-engage with that audience. And it grew the brand. So both those businesses just grew then by, I guess you would say by accident, but I guess at the same time as well, you know, it's kind of arrogantly in the back of your head, it's going to work. Like, this is going to increase business anyway. So why would you not do it? You know what I mean? Like, it's free exposure. It's how I've always felt about social media. I don't type very well. I don't write very well. Do I do this very well? You can let me know. But the speaking and doing video, I find really easy. I'm really lucky that it's not been an issue for me to just stand in front of something and go, okay, let's give it a go.
Right.
You know, fail fast or fail hard. People will tell you, and they're brutal, if that was rubbish content, don't do that again.
Yeah.
So that's two of the businesses, and they were two completely separate entities. However you set them up in America and UK, they're different, but two completely separate businesses with their own bank accounts, the whole shebang.
Right.
In the middle sat this gray area, which was Alan, the mentor and trainer, which fell under this More Than Detailing brand I've had since 2015, about, hey, you guys are going to have to realize pretty quick that it's about more than just shiny paint. But in 2015, people were not ready to hear that. People were not ready to consume podcasts. And people weren't really consuming video content on YouTube either. So it right. kind of flopped. So in 2015, you'll catch Alan trying to do what a lot of the guys are doing now, high five T is. And it flopped. It was the wrong time for the audience. The audience was not ready for that type of engagement, that type of method of delivering knowledge, mentorship. Anyway, so that's the three things I own. That's what feeds the family, keeps things going. And that's what you've seen me traveling around and doing and promoting. So in essence, what's happened is I've sold the detailing business and the chemical business.
Okay.
That was your original question, right? The original question is, what did we sell? And then I came back to tell you, right, great.
Why did you sell it? And I wanted a better answer than they just dumped a dump truck full of money in your driveway or whatever.
We can come around to the ins and outs of how I come to sell it and do all that stuff. But initially, why did I sell it? I guess it's going to just seem like the car crash standard response answer of I had two businesses that are great assets that people wanted. And the core reason I guess I didn't even really think about selling. The core reasons I had the conversations with people that made them go, ooh, I would like to buy that. All right. Mm-hmm. So like I turned around and told Alex, I'm maybe not the best guy for this because I didn't actively get a piece of paper out and go, okay, I want to sell this. A bunch of scenarios led up to the fact of a mindset I was in when speaking to people I knew, and they were like, hey, I'll buy that off you. So I think the easiest way is to like lead up to that. So as you guys know, or maybe not, I think we talked about it last time I was on the podcast. You know, we've all had COVID, all that jazz. Are we allowed to say that word in podcasts now? Or do you still bleep it out? and then I had my like 4 months in hospital, which was a pretty rough time. Now, pre-COVID and pre that happening, my businesses were actually doing really well. And we had a pot of money ready to go invest in opening another site. And we were going to, you know, we were going to chase the big dream. We were going to go for it. But we just didn't pull the trigger pre-COVID. And then COVID hit. And then I know how you guys had it in America, but I feel like Scotland just got hit harder than anyone. I know I'm just going to say that. But even if you looked at how the UK at the time, England were doing stuff. And then our minister was just like, and I'm going to do one harder. And you're just like, great. Yeah, lock us down another level. Thanks.
Yeah.
So the detailing business basically, in a nutshell, shut for nearly 2 years. That's how that went. And as you can imagine, without the cash flow coming in there, and I couldn't move the staff from the detailing business into the e-commerce business, I had to let my team go, which, as you guys know, if you watch YouTube channels, it was like 2-3 people, amazing people. And luckily, they're both in work. And as of us recording this now, I think both doing quite well. But that was one of the toughest things ever. Like, I have employed staff and had staff come away from the business. And I always tell people, you know, if you can't grow as fast as your staff are going to grow, then have absolute joy in being a stepping stone in someone's career life, you know, because it is so much fun. I love teaching people. I love taking people from A to B. And there's a couple of my guys I see now, like full-time PTs and gyms. They never wanted to be detailers. They just wanted a job where they could do well, succeed, learn skills that would make them confident enough to finish their college and go on to sports or get a job in a gym and talk to people, you know?
Right.
So that was a really tough time for me letting those staff go. We're then got the e-commerce business that's booming, doing really, really well, but I was juggling kids, everything else going on. So that was a tough time on me physically. And then I hit hospital. And then when I came out of hospital, you never had the main person driving the company for a while. We had the team there and they did a fantastic job, but they weren't there driving forward the bits I drive forward.
Right.
So we had a deficit. We had a hole we needed to fill. So once we come into it, looking at all, we're like, hey, can we fill this hole? It's like, yeah, we can do that in about a 2-3 year plan to get to where we were pre-COVID. And to be honest, I think that's pretty good and optimistic. Looking at a lot of companies, if they look at their, hey, how do we get from where we are now, the after COVID state, into where we were before or better, I reckon we could have done it 2-3 years. And I was like, whoo, have I got the energy for that? So that was the mindset I was in when having these conversations before selling. So it wasn't that I want to sell. It was like, okay, I need to get money. I need to get staff. I need to get these products going. I need to let my customers know that the detailing business is back open. I need to start making videos. All this stuff was going on. And at this point, there's me and one other guy, Ion, and that's it for the three companies. And we're just like, we need to get staff in. We need to get going.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was these conversations with close friends of mine that then made them go, don't bother doing that. I'll just buy it. And that's how the sale, when you ask why did I sell, that's how the sale came. I was just in a mindset where I was looking at how do I get to where I was and then where I'm going to get going. And I seen the time it was going to take. And then just like having those conversations with you guys, but they're a little bit more in depth. They're with one of them was with a company I consult with. We can share a list and we talk about the individual sales. And the other was a great guy that I trained initially. And then he's gone on and done great in business. So these are two people I talk to regularly. Just that person you can check in with.
Right, right.
And talking to them, both of them were just like, give me it. I'll have it.
Wow. Well, because we're a little bit long, let's jump into our first commercial and then come back because I want to ask you about those conversations. So we'll be right back.
What's happening, Detail Solutions Podcast? Ian here from AutoFiber. I've got a special discount for our Towel of the Month Club. TOTM25 will get you 25% off of the Towel of the Month Club. And in the Towel of the Month Club, pretty much you sign up, pay for a year, and every month we're going to send you a different sample of a different type of towel or applicator. So it's a good way to get different samples and try different types of our products. So use TOTM25 at checkout for 25% off.
All right. So what I want to ask is, you said you're kind of like having those conversations or talking with those people and they were just like, I'll buy it off of you. What was your initial reaction? Were you just kind of like, yeah, all right. or were you like, let's get the checkbook out and let's start.
Yeah, it was very much like, what? And then you come home to the wife, like, so it was Heidi first. So she bought the chemical company first. And it was just like, I had a really random conversation today. And Sarah's like, is this a sit down conversation? Do we need to sit down? I was like, someone said they want to buy my business today. What? And then it was one of those things that it kind of happens and then you sleep on it. And then the next day you're like, wow, I might be actually excited about this. Like I've just accelerated. I've just removed my 2-year gap. That was how I felt about it. So I still felt like I'm going to own this. I'm going to be part of this. You know, like I'm going to get to push. And my brain just went into, I'm going to make videos. I can finally launch the next 3 products. I know exactly the next products I want to be investigating in. I can't wait to then get America going again and go and support China because they're just coming out of there. China's COVID is still going insane, by the way, just to let you know, it's mental for them guys over there. So just in case they're listening, I love you guys. So it was just, I then got really excited by the idea of, wow. And it never really twigged the fact that it won't be mine. I just thought this is like, it sounds really weird, like an out of body experience of the company can now be where it was going to be 2 years faster. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I guess I've always looked at that. I've never really looked at it as mine. I've always just looked at it as what can the company do? Like what's AM Details? I guess that comes from it being community led, like the Facebook community group decides everything. Okay. So the entire hybrid range wasn't, it was a concept in my head, but I didn't arrogantly go, I've tested this and this is the best. And this is why we just got the 4 core bits and then let the community do it.
Right. Now, with when you kind of came down to, you know, talking those offers or whatever, was it something that you were like, hey, I would like to do this, this, and this afterwards? Or did the people making the offer say, hey, Alan, we still want you to be a part of it and we want you to do this, this, and this versus just, you know, wipe your hands and walk away kind of deal?
Right. Yeah. No, totally. So I know a lot of people don't want to sell without walking away. And that, you know, I'm not going to lie to you how I was feeling at the time. You were like, yes. Let's become a driver.
Right, right.
That could be an option. And that goes in your head for about 2 minutes. I guess you have to be wired the way we're all wired, right? And then you're like, no. Yeah, so those conversations happened. And then you kind of look at it and go, okay, what's going to be the next one? I set it up in a way. I was like, look, guys, I did 4 months in hospital. That could happen again, February, March, April, May. Like there is stuff going on right now that I'm waiting on answers for. And we're like, just like, look, I don't know what my future is going to look like. So that's why when you guys make these offers, it seems really convenient for me. Like, sweet, you know, yeah. The company's going to get to go 2 years forward and potentially it's not going to put me in hospital again for another 4 months.
Right.
So having those chats, I was very open with them saying I might not be available, but then that just kind of changed the role that they wanted to retain me on. So.
Okay.
Oh, I'm quite open about the fact. So Heidi's bought the business. So basically she already had a chemical brand and she already has a detailing business.
Okay.
I've been consulting with the brand Rogue Detailing down in Queensferry. I've been consulting with them, helping them build their detailing side of the business up. So their systems, their sales, all the things I do for More Than Detailing. So we were just having a conversation about her saying, hey, when can you next come down? We want to kind of take our business to the next step that you were talking about. And that's when having this chat, she was like, oh man, I would just love to. Like every time I've gone down there and seen this company, you guys will have it, right? You meet people and you're like, I need to work with you somehow. Right. Like yeah. Some way that it's more than you just asking me to come and train you and exchange money and then me seeing you grow. Like how do we both invest in something and grow something together? Like that kind of energy. With their little brand, it was Ace. So Heidi was just, she's already got the systems in place, the production, everything. So she was just thinking of it as, all right, it's going to cost me money, but I have everything in place. So my overheads are minimal. They're already an overhead I've got. And I get to inject your customer base, your, you know, your brand, everything behind it. She says, then hopefully, then I just get to pay you to do the bit that grows the brand. And in her head, it was just like, this makes perfect sense.
Right.
And when she said it out loud, I was like, wow. And that's kind of what the clincher was it sounds too good to be true. And it probably will be. And it'll be, you know, a long time till we actually get there. But in essence, Heidi and her team will be able to manage all the production, everything else. And I'll just get to develop cool chemicals and make videos about it. It's right. Not going to be as easy as that. Right. Yeah. And it might not happen. But in essence, if you look at what could the best scenario be, it's that.
Right.
And that's what in the end made me go, you know what, let's try this. Yeah, I'll sell it. Let's
now
do it.
Was her brand maybe a little bit smaller or let's say more infancy than your brand was? So like where you're looking at like, man, we need to go 2 or 3 years to get here, she's looking at, hey, I could just buy Alan's brand and I'm already 5 years into the future. You know,
exactly. The exact years she said, she was like, me buying this, I'm 5 years ahead. Like I've got, and it wasn't to sell Rogue into my customer base, if you know what I mean. It wasn't so she could go, hey, my brand can sell here. From a business point of view, you just got to look at the numbers. Because by the time we're having this conversation, non-disclosure done, numbers are being exchanged. And she's just like, this accelerates everything about my business 5 years forward, which then allows, you got to imagine, right? So not only, is she going to have the customer base we've got, which you can't sell hopes and dreams to people. But I did tell them like the AM Details customer base is very engaging. It's a very lucky thing. Maybe it's because how I got my customers was by doing things like this, right? So they're very engaging. And we always pick up the phone and we'll talk to you for half an hour to make $10. But that, you know, that's the way we are. Because the next time we'll talk to you for half an hour and you're going to spend $500, you know?
Right.
You need to know your, anyway, I don't need to do that side of business, but Heidi was, that's what I told her. And I don't think she was expecting it until after the first week. She was like, I'm having amazing conversations on the telephone, Alan. I'm getting nothing done. but she's meeting all these people. And yeah, so we accelerated her business 5 years ahead, if you like.
Right.
But I got to accelerate that 2 year gap I was missing by getting to use her amazing creativity, the connections she's got, all the stuff in the business she already had that I was going to have to rebuild over the two years. So in joining the two together, it's just, we're going to accelerate it. I'm super excited about this one.
Right. So now, is her brand kind of absorbing AM Details, or are you guys going to, or is she, I mean, with you being a partner of it, going to still sell them as two separate brands, you know?
So that was a really complicated thing to work out, but we've umbrellaed it under Rogue Warehouse. So she's got Rogue Detailing, of which I know the Rogue Detailing brand, and now she's gone for Rogue Warehouse, which is kind of cool. And the AM Details brand is going to sit under it, and it allows, you know, for a catalog of brands in the future. You never know what might happen.
Right.
But in the purchase, so just to be totally clear, Heidi now owns the brand, the URL, and the old website, plus all the production stuff. I own nothing, and I am an employee of that business. So she could fire me, or I could hand in notice and walk away. You know, so I'm not a partner. Now, who knows what the future will bring, but we made that decision for the fact that I went, look, if you're buying this, of course I want to still be part of it and do all the cool stuff. But if I go sick or something terrible happens, I don't want all these legal freaking loopholes where you can't get access to what you bought and all this sort of stuff. So we went the simple way of, I'll just sell you everything and you employ me.
Yeah. And plus, it's probably pretty smart on her to keep you around because of, you know, you being the face, you know, you having that thing. And, you know, and let's be honest, I mean, even over here, typically when companies buy out other companies, you know, whoever is the face or the owner or whatever, usually stick around for at least a certain amount of time for a transition period before they either leave out or become, like what you said, then end up becoming an employee.
Yeah. We're hoping it's longer than a transition, but we did the initial planning stages that it wasn't, so that Heidi was crystal clear on what she was purchasing. And I was crystal clear on the fact that, hey, Heidi could buy this, get rid of me, and, you know, carry on making money, because it's a cracking little brand. The community is great behind it. And yes, like for you guys, I'm the face because you've consumed AM Details through this style, this content. We have a cracking customer base that has no idea who Alan is. They walk in the shop just like, oh, hey, how are you doing? I love this wheel cleaner. I buy it all the time online. And, you know, to sound really weird, I could be stood there like, hi.
They're like, who's this wanker staring at me?
See the wheel cleaner?
Yeah.
Got my face in it. And they're just like, yeah, mate, how much is it? Do you do discount? And you're like, you don't get it, do you? I'm the guy. So, but we do have fantastic customer base that's come that way just through the fact that the product works and word of mouth. So we have those two avenues. So
sweet. All right, let's do another commercial and then we'll come back. I got another, I think, good question for you. So all right, here we go.
If you want more than just a kiss under the mistletoe, make sure your jingle bells are smoother than Santa's sack. With Manscaped's Lawnmower 4.0 combined with the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Toner, you'll be sure to stuff her stockings this Christmas. So go to manscaped.com and use the code DSP to save 20% and get free shipping worldwide. And your groomed candy cane will glisten in the twinkling lights.
I want to let you know that was all Alex.
I am disappointed that was not done by your balls.
No.
Jason, did he tell you that was my response last time? Like, I'm disappointed I'm not your testicles in this, or I'm part of this Manscaped deal.
He told me the whole story on how that commercial came to be, and I thought it was fucking brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, we should do another one. So my question is, you essentially kind of had two offers on the table. So what made you take Heidi's offer versus the other offer? Was hers better than yours? Was it just more convenient than yours? Or
is that why did I take Heidi's over me keeping a hold of it and writing out the 2 years?
No, you said you talked to two people and they both.
To sell the other business. Like I said, I never. So yeah, at the start of this, I told you like I didn't go out to sell these. So Heidi just got in touch with that. So you imagine we've done the deal. Well, the deal's in the plan. It was a courtesy of me to go, right, Heidi, I need to make sure all my key customers, everyone's going to be happy with this deal. So I started phoning everyone up. So we phone up America, we phone all the other countries. And then I start working my way around the UK with our distributors. So then it comes to phoning up Callum. So I phone up Callum and he's like, you know, we're really good friends. He's just like, what you want? You know, it's not like, oh, hey, sales guy.
Yeah.
We're having the crack. And I was like, dude, I've gone and sold the chemical company. He was like, what? Like what most people are like, why have you gone and done that? So I told him the crack and he's like, okay. I says, look, just to let you know, I'm still hanging around. So you don't have anything to worry about. You can still get all your other things we were doing for him. And it's going to come from Queensferry. So it's probably actually, they're just around the corner from each other, like literally half hour, 20 minute drive, depending on how spirited your drive is. So you'll probably just pick it up or Heidi will bring it to you. And Callum was like, well, dude, if you're ever thinking of selling that detailing business, do not talk to anyone else before you speak to me. And that is how I sold the second one.
Oh, so okay. Just
tell him about the first one that I sold the second one.
Okay, so I was thinking you sold them both to Heidi as as one. Okay, right. So you sold
separate transactions.
Two completely separate. That's why at the start I wanted to make sure you guys knew they're two different entities.
That's right.
So I sold the chemical company to Heidi, who already makes chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
I phoned a detailer I supply, and he was like, dude, sell me your detailing business. If that's the mindset you're in.
Yeah, I got that you said they were two separate, but I was thinking that your offers were for both of them together.
No.
So, okay, awesome. So,
yeah, I phoned up Callum. He says, okay, because – so I'll put a little caveat to this. He didn't just randomly go, hey, here's the money. Let's go, go, go. Pre-COVID, right. Callum and I had been talking a lot about doing a lot of projects together with our detailing businesses. So at that point, we were already talking about collaborating or doing things together. Anyway, so when I told about this, that's why he instantly came out with, dude, we should have pulled the trigger way back when. So before you sell anything, I'm in.
So here's my question to kind of go along with the topic, and I don't expect you to, you know, say dollar figures or whatever, but what I want to know is, so when he came to you and said, okay, I want to buy the detailing business, right? Like not the chemical business. I want to buy the detailing business. Like how do you put a dollar figure on that? Right? Like how did you sit down and go, okay, if I'm going to sell it, I need X amount of dollars. Did you look at your, you know, last 3 years, you know, P&Ls and kind of come up with an average, or were you just like, you know what, I'm kind of hungry, you know, hook me up with a sandwich and, you know, we'll sign over some papers or something, you know?
As always, it's not going to be a short answer for me, is it, really?
Yeah, it's fine. We got an hour to kill, so.
Sweet. So the first thing I will say before even selling any of my businesses, I always build my companies as if I'm going to sell them. And I think anyone that's building their company that isn't needs to change that mindset. We're not going to be able to work all our days. Yeah. And detailing is a bit of a tough slog. And me knowing that with Crohn's, I always knew that I was either going to have to build companies big enough. And that's why I like staff and you know, training staff up. The staff could run it when I'm unwell or physically can't work, or that they're good enough to sell.
Right.
So I always built them up in that way. And knowing that, I actually listened to this ebook. I listened to it every 6 months just to refresh it. It's called Build to Sell. It's a really good book. It basically just talks about how people have these different businesses that they're working in and they're doing okay and making a bit of money. But it's not until you laser focus on a subject of what you're doing and then you kind of get to this place of having systems. Like you can't sell a company that doesn't have systems because what are they buying? You know,
right. Yeah.
So once you read that book and did it, it made me think about, okay, so I did the cheesy project of what you're meant to do if you're thinking about selling your business is just sit and look at what do you need and write it on an envelope and close it. Now, I wasn't trying to sell my businesses when I sold them, all right? But if you did go to sell your businesses, lots of different emotions come into play. You might think it's valued more or less, or you're in the really lucky position where lots of people are bidding for your business. And then you're like, no, I'm going to push back and ask for more. It's kind of like a reality check to open the envelope and see what were you happy with, because if the offer's over that, then take it. That's what you were happy with, right? Stop chasing the dollar or the sale might not happen.
Right.
So I did that exercise, so it was in my head. If you were to try and do the one like you're speaking about, remember my detailing business closed for 2 years. Its P&L sucks. No staff, no turnover, government grants. So you have to look at stuff pre-COVID. What really sold it to Callum, I'm guessing, was the fact that he was buying what I've built, which is a system-driven detailing facility that does really well in an area where it probably shouldn't. We laser focused on our demographic. We know who our customer is, and we provided services that supplied those customers. We did not build services like copying every other detailer or doing our thing. We used a lot of local language that speaks to our demographic of customer, and we integrated ourselves into it. You know, if you want to be doing high-end cars and doing Porsches and Ferraris and all that with PPF and stuff, you're going to have to start going to their car clubs or getting in with them so that they're talking about you and being in front of mind. And you know what I mean? So in essence, that's what Callum was buying into, the assets in the building and me to build a team there doing that. So I didn't do it in a, because of how the sale came, I didn't do it in like 3x profit or 5x turnover or any of these sort of things, which are the most common ways people do it to give a benchmark. I'm privileged that I've seen people sell businesses, and generally they go in with that figure and then negotiations start and they don't get near it anyway. That's why you need that envelope figure.
Right.
But I would encourage people to do it the way I did it, which was look at what you need to clear yourself away from the business. And then look at the, you know, the goodwill factor. What do you want? What do you need in your own life, or what's going to make it easy for you? So, for example, I have a shed full of assets that I could probably easily sell for thousands. But I've got to take them out, put them on Facebook Marketplace, and try and sell them. You know what I mean? When you look at it from that point of view.
Yeah.
So you've got to allow all that into the sale of the business. But to give you the textbook answer, I never did 3x profit or 5x turnover. I did, here's the assets. Here's what I need to clear myself. This is a little bit of money for me and my family. How does that sound? And I probably should have went higher.
Because he accepted it way fast.
Yeah, but it was well within. I had a number when my company was good in an envelope. I had a number for my company was good in an envelope. Right. And I didn't get not too bad near that with basically a company with no people in it. So
let me ask you this. Will you tell us what your number was in the envelope without telling us what you actually sold for, or is that not like what you wanted? I'm just curious.
Oh, that's a great question.
And honestly, if you don't tell me on here, maybe tell me off just so I
know. We were just having a conversation about that. Like, you're not very, people don't share stuff with Alex. You know, he's not very good at keeping secrets. Don't do it.
Listen, yeah. I've kept some pretty good ones that are still hard to, but you know what? They could pan out long run for the podcast. So I've got to keep them.
I can't trust them anymore, man.
No, I'm just curious. Like, cause again, you wrote that number down long before the sale. So just curious.
So if you go pre COVID, what my company was turning over now, I restricted the detail in business a lot. Restricted it because my focus was the chemicals and other things. So that business in itself, the profits at the bottom, it's, how do you explain this to Americans?
Well, we do have a lot of other listeners around the world, so it's not just
the UK tax structure. Basically, my detailing business was designed so that I could be very tax efficient with my income.
Okay.
Jason's just left just as we're talking about tax efficiency. That's good.
Yeah,
hit a button by accident.
He's like, oh, I'm out.
I don't need to hear this. What do you call it? The NRS or whatever in the UK? IRS. Yeah. So the company was built up in a different way. So anyway, yeah, that figure. No, I can't share it actually.
That's fine. I was just curious, because that was the thing that when Jason and I originally had this, was I told Jason, I said, I bet you a lot of detailers think that their business is probably worth a lot more than it really is.
Oh, so here, okay.
And
tell you about my envelope, but should we spitball it?
Sure. If you want to spitball it.
Let's make it American, because there's a difference with UK and American detail, I think. So let's do an average. In America, one-man band working from his own unit or his thing, doing okay, what do you think his potential turnover is? In the US, what would you expect? $250,000, $500,000?
I mean, it depends.
$150,000?
I'm nowhere near that, but I work more part time. So yeah, I mean, I would say probably 150, 200.
Yeah,
so 150, 200. What's your tax? I know you've got different states. What's your tax like? Like, what do you 7%
think? 7% in Florida, isn't it?
Yeah, 7% in Florida. Some states actually have. What is it? Some states pay state tax and federal tax.
Yeah, we only pay state.
Yeah.
All right. So let's say all the ins and outs, right? So if someone's doing 100 to 150K turnover, right? And then they've got their cost of goods sold, so their materials, yada, 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 20, 30K over the year. I don't know. So they're probably getting like 110 gross. Then they've got their unit, their costs, whatever. What do you think a detail is paying themselves? Like in America, can you have a good standard of living on 30K, 40K?
No.
So what do you need in 50K, 60K?
50 to 70 is...
Yeah,
is,
between 50 and 70, you'll be good.
So you have someone turning over 150 and they want to pull 70 out for their family.
Yeah.
Does America allow things like, so even though that's 70, they're probably only going to take about 50 out because they're going to put 20K through, because they're going to put their truck through, they're going to put their fuel through, so they don't need to take that out as wage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is that how it works in America?
Yeah.
So we're saying roughly half of their turnover is probably what they're looking to take home.
Probably.
So if you have a detailer doing 150K a year and he's trying to pull out 70, he needs to sell it for 150, doesn't he?
I mean, I would think
maybe
so.
Maybe even 200?
Yeah. But see, I think that
But I don't think it works in our type of industry. I don't think that works.
Yeah, I don't think it does. Because if somebody came to me and was like, hey, I'll sell you my 150 a year detailing business for 150, I'm going to be like, eh. Because the way that I look at it is, I know what you said. What you said kind of makes sense, right? Like you're selling the structure, or you're selling the systems, right? But to me, when I look at it, it's mainly like you're buying a customer base for the most part, but you're not guaranteed that that customer base is going to stay with you, because if you do something a little bit different than I do it, or a little bit better than my system or whatever, and I don't do your system exactly right, or you're more charismatic, maybe I do a better job than you do, but you're more charismatic when you talk to them, you know, you've known them long enough, you know, their kids, you know, their whole history or whatever. You know, the way I look at it is you're not guaranteed that customer base to stay with you. So now you're essentially losing income right off of that 150 or 200K. So that's why
let's say a spitball. What percentage do you think you would lose out of the fact that it's not the original owner?
I think you could lose, you know, anywhere between 20 and 30 easily, you know, just depending on what type of person.
The other one as well is, if we're selling 150K business, right, is it a local guy? So you're going to say, right, this guy turns over 150K, but I'm not going to take his building. I'm just going to say, hey, I bought this business.
Right.
Come to me. Or is it going to be, no, I'm buying the building. Do they have staff? Like, there's so many variables in selling a business, right? Mm-hmm. Is there staff there already? And is this a 150K? What's that? 50% would be 75. So if I'm losing 30, 40, you're like, right, it's a 100K business now. I'm going to lose 50K just because people don't like what happened, muddied the water.
Right.
But I'm going to have roughly the same overheads because I'm not going to get rid of the staff. You know yourself, chemicals, cost of goods sold, marginal. Is it still going to be a profitable business after year one? But what's the benefit in having the two? Are you going to have two websites? So now you've got two websites pushing traffic, two SEO bases.
Right.
Is it your social media platforms?
The same.
Is the other one in a better location that can now drive something that you specialize in to you? So people walk in there going, oh, hey, are you a PPF shop? No, we're not. But our sister company, just literally 20 miles down the road, is where we install our PPF. Then we become your maintenance hub. Oh, yeah. Great. So is it a lead generator that you can pass? How do you put a figure on those? You've just got to sit down and do what we've done for 2 seconds, is sit and go, right, I'll lose 40% here and go worst case all the time on a piece of paper.
Right.
And then go your next one, right, what if we only lost 30? What if we only lost 20? What if it gains us 4 extra PPF jobs at our other site? And then just plan it out. It sounds terrible, but I'm a numbers guy.
Yeah.
And that's the numbers I run. And then I look at this going, right, is this viable? And to be honest, if you're going to buy a business and hope you're getting your money back in the first year, you're dreaming. Like,
oh, for sure.
Have a five-year plan, right? So if you're buying this thing for 150K, how are you going to pull out the bottom over 5 years? 10 years would be 15K. So 30 grand a year, you need to pull out the bottom of that. The first year, you reckon you're going to lose 50 grand, didn't we? But let's say you get that back second year, 150. What's going to make that business different? Is it because you're going to add value to it? So are you hoping to get it to 175, 200?
Right. Yeah.
Or are you just going to leave it, flatline it at 150, and it's a slow burn return?
Okay, I gotcha. All right, let's do a commercial, and then I've got a question for you about that.
Still sitting on a bucket or poorly built shop stool? Aren't you tired of the discomfort and back pain caused by your lousy shop stool? The days of tiny casters and thin seats are over. Meet the Viper Chair, America's number one shop chair, made right here in the USA. The Viper Chair glides over any surface and loose debris with 4-inch industrial-grade casters. Relieve your lower back pain with the perfectly angled backrest. Prevent tipping and improve posture with a wide, sturdy base. Viper chairs are designed for every industry, automotive, detailing, welding, or any other project in your garage, no matter what you love to do. With an artillery of accessories, Viper is here to help you with whatever the job requires. Stop wasting your money buying cheap China-made shop stools and get yourself a Viper chair, handcrafted right here in America. Visit ViperIndustrial.com now for our $50 site-wide sale. But hurry, this sale ends soon. Shop ViperIndustrial.com. That's ViperIndustrial.com.
And if you use the code GP25, you'll save an additional $25.
Why are they not shipping them to Elgin, Murray? I'm still running around on cheap Chinese stools. Come on, Viper.
I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll have to get
Alex,
on them.
Alex, what's the deal?
I have to get on them, yeah.
MTE. I'm going to be on serious swag train on MTE.
Yeah.
so here, Alex, before you ask your question, I know it's coming down the Minecraft show. I'm so sorry. But those two scenarios we just talked about, right? In essence, if we make Heidi a detailing business, is exactly what happened. Right. So Heidi bought my chemical company. She reckons it's only going to cost her £2,000 more of her original running costs to run my company, which turned over considerably more money than hers.
Right.
So she's purchased a company to run it through her own system, and it's only going to cost her £2,000 more to get that turnover. That's right. I'm going to buy this 150K customer base and put it through my own shop that I've only got to buy two more staff members to maintain that client base. And now I'm like, woohoo. Or are you doing what Callum's done and bought two sites on the hope that the two working together can grow both?
Right. And that's kind of what I was going to say is, you know, listening to you talk about it that way, it changes my way of thinking that somebody who already maybe has an established detail business, but is looking to, you know, grow right into a second location. So instead of just starting fresh at a second location and having to build customer base there, you could buy an already established, even if you take a 30 or 40% hit in clientele, you're still making money on that one to then grow. So again, it might not be as much of a step backwards as maybe too, for somebody who wants to get into the detailing business, maybe it's easier to buy an established business. Again, if you take that 30 or 40% hit, you're still probably out of the gate better off than starting out fresh, having to build a clientele base, having to, you know, work it out. You would, even though you're not going to make your money back in the first year, you're going to make more money in the first year than you probably would if you started fresh, zero clients or whatever. So yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. That might be a situation.
If I give a small example on that, exact real-time example is my detailing business thrives on farming what we've already got. The area I'm in, it's let's supply a ceramic and then we make great money providing aftercare services. And that's not quick little violets. That's not who we are. It's 6 monthly to yearly ceramic maintenances. So a good decontamination, ceramic top up, you know, recoat your wheels if needed, depending on how harsh. Good value money. You can get it in. It's already ceramiced. We've been shut for 2 years of COVID. That's 2 years missing of brand new cars getting ceramic coated our customers bring us in enhancements and being quoted. So now we've opened, I just hit the email trigger, bang, bang. Hey guys, how you doing? We're open. This is what's happening. All my ceramic maintenance stuff's coming in. The work I've been doing on the YouTube channel and on my Facebook recently is all brand new customers. No idea who I am, because it's the other side of the business. It's the side of the business that is, I am answering a problem. Someone's Googling, I need a detailer near me. And they're coming through the door and seeing that we're established. We've got good reviews. You know, we've got images up there. And they're coming in the shop and seeing a nice shop, someone being polite to them. So that exact scenario you said, where it could be someone that's changing industry, or, you know, early retirement, done with their industry and got a pot of money that's going, I want to consume a business. Let's buy one that's already rolling. And they want to buy a business.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah. So, and I know you didn't have this because they came to you, but when you were initially thinking like, okay, if I have to sell my business, you know, how do you go about putting that out there? You know, I mean, do you make a Facebook post? Hey, selling AM details.
So I'm more like
DM me an offer, you know, or like,
that's the shittiest way to do it, because you're just going to get fucking flakes the whole time.
No, I know. Or do you do, you know, do you try to put something like in a trade paper, or, you know, I mean, I'm used to all this house. Yeah. I mean, you I'm used to
a house. Yeah. And you get that document, like, here's the images, here's this room, here's what the house offers, here's what around it does. What do you call that? Like a
like a broker.
Yeah, like you build a thing. So you come out of the, anyway, I'd have all the pictures taken. Then I'd put figures on saying, look, we turn over 200K. This is our demographic customer base. This is what we do. There's these assets in the building. Which value would be this if just sold individually? You know, you've got to really bulk it out. And then that's how, if I was going to sell a business, I would then be putting out, you know, hey, AM Details Detailing Business locally is up for sale. You know, any email to get the, I thought it was going to jump in my head. I thought it was going to jump in. But those brokers come around and make you when you're selling a house.
A booklet, a pamphlet, one of those things. Sales book. A trifold. I don't know.
We all know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. There's probably a professional word for it. Right now, there's retail brokers going, shouting at the TV.
Exactly.
It's called, you idiot.
Yeah.
But I'd make one of them.
Okay. Because, I mean,
I wouldn't do what most people do. Want to sell my business? This is a crazy idea I've just had while sat on the sofa. Bye.
Exactly. Because I'm used to kind of like in the detail industry, you know, there's the Professional Car Washer magazine, and usually way in the back where all the ads are, you know, or the classifieds kind of thing, you'll see, you know, like, you know, car wash for sale in whatever city, whatever state. And then it kind of lists and, you know, and then here's the phone number to call for serious inquiries or something like that. But,
put a for sale sign out front, and then there you go.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, we as a detailing industry, or at least here in America, we don't have like a professional like magazine or whatever. So
if I was to have done it, I'd probably put it out on like LinkedIn, or put it in some of the more professional Facebook groups, put it on the actual social media of the company.
Good idea.
Stuff it. Put it out on my email list. Put it out to my customers, because you know yourself. You know your customers well. Some of them are probably, you know, sat on a nice pot of money. Yeah. They themselves are maybe ready to come out of their industry, or maybe they have a younger family member that's interested in detailing. Like, hey, I'd like to buy a business for my daughter, or buy a business for my son to manage. You got to look at all your. This is the businessman in me, right? The hustle. You got to look at all your. Who's going to buy a business, right?
Right.
I don't know, someone with excess money, or maybe someone that fits the demographic of, after COVID, your local government is, you know, giving out funding for people starting out as self-employed. You know, they're trying to encourage self-employment here in the UK. So they're like, here, you can get this grant for 25 grand. So, okay, you're not going to sell your business for 25 grand, but, you know, that might be where you're at the time. You might be, hey, I've got a building full of assets. I just want to sell it.
Right.
Come buy my assets and let me walk away. So, you got to work out, like selling anything, who's the demographic, then make, just can't get the word.
Brochure?
No.
Just trying to figure out where you're going with it.
Ask another question. I'm going to Google it.
Yeah. Well, here, why don't we do this? Why don't we do another commercial? Yeah.
If you have not yet tried Oberg's new APS soap, now is your chance to receive 15% off by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. Oberg's new all-purpose soap is perfect for all your exterior washing needs. This unique formula combines plant-based cleaning power that is effective and versatile. Whether you are mobile washing or maintaining a ceramic-coated vehicle, APS soap works quickly and rinses easily. This super concentrated formula can also be used on really tough bugs and is very effective in dirty door jams. To find out more, please visit oberkcarcare.com.
Okay, isn't that just the best voice you ever heard, Alan?
Oh, dude. I was digging it. I couldn't concentrate. I was just sitting here going, what do I need to Google again? All I want to do is go buy some work.
Yeah. So, okay. So
a sales schedule. A sales schedule.
Okay. But see, I don't think we call them sales schedules over here.
I don't know what the fuck I've
never
that
heard
is
that before. Yeah.
I need to go and make a sales schedule. It's like a schedule of the sale, like a schedule is like a time of day thing.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's a document where it's like, instead of being a time of day, it's like, there's a certain order. You have your title. How much do you want for it? Here's your images. Here's room one. Here's room two. It's a schedule of events, a schedule of sale. Anyway, okay. Us stupid English using the language wrong, eh?
Yeah. Especially when you're saying schedule instead of schedule. Yeah. Schedule.
Wow, dude.
So here's another question, right? Like, we've been talking about how you would, price out your business as a whole or whatever. So how do you price out your inventory, right? Like, so let's say you've got that Rupes machine that you bought $400 and something brand new 8 years ago, and you've done like 10,000 cars with it. You know, are you just like, it's $50 machine, it's $100, I've got a half a quart of some compound here. I mean, like, do you just bulk it all in one? Like, I need to get at least $1,000 for all this shit, and that's all bulked into whatever. Or do you try to parse it out? Because maybe the person taking over doesn't know how to use a rotary. So then maybe they don't need a rotary, and now you're stuck, holding onto a rotary.
Know your customer again, right? Like, so there's two things here. One is what we're talking about, like how us detailers not thinking about selling our businesses or thinking about it,
yeah,
piece it together, which is, right, I know this is a cup, $100 cup, but now what's it, $10 or whatever it's going to be? Is that what I'm going to sell it for? The other side is from an accounting point of view, like the depreciation of a value.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You go and buy your ramp. Depending on your accountant, they might go, just put the whole thing through this year, or they're going to go, no, it's through, and then we'll depreciate it each year. So you get the depreciation. Right. You know what I mean? So then maybe that's the two ways you could look at it, right? So you go, right, I've got two ramps. They were $2,000 each, so they're now $1,500. Or you go, nope, they're $800. The other thing from accountant as well is when doing sales is, so you have the sale of the business, the figure is broken down. It's not just like, right, I'm wanting 200K. It's like, right, of that, I'm telling you that 30K is assets. So 30K is the ramp, the machines, the polish, bang. Of that, a certain amount is business, the actual business you're buying. So the customer base and whatever. Like, but the issue you've got, and I don't know what it's like in America, in the UK, these things are all taxable in different ways. So even though we walk around and we say, this is this, this is that, their accountant might turn and say, well, could you make that this? So
yeah.
Sometimes you could look at it too easily. That's why I'm just like, just think of the figure that you want. And then if you want to make it more attractive. So for example, you could inflate it saying, right, I want $100,000, sell my business. If you turn around and say, of which $10,000's assets, they're going to be like, eh. But if you're like, oh, $30,000 of that's assets, they'll be like, oh, okay. So at least if it all goes terrible, I've got 30K out there I can sell.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And you, what do you say your customer base is worth?
Yeah.
Makes you 150K a year, but what's that worth? Do you go, well, that's 150K, even at 50% off 75K, but 50% of that comes back. So the next year I'm going to get 35, So that's why I thought it was interesting to have this podcast, even though I have sold it and the way I sold it was a bit unique. I like this discussion because my mind is in this mode because of what's happened. How would you do this? And what else? Plus, I just like selling. That's why I enjoy customer side of detailing and selling.
Since you've already sold everything or whatever, have you looked back on it and been like, oh shoot, I probably should have did this or asked for this, or like it's always the, when you get into an argument with somebody and they say something and it's the drive home. You're like,
I should have said this.
It's the ocean called and they want you back, whatever the Seinfeld line kind of thing. Do you have that, would have known, if I would have known now, we could have done things a little bit different, or, are you just pretty happy with the way that everything went down?
So I'm totally pumped with the way everything went down. I don't think it could have went easier and to two better people, considering I wasn't looking at selling it, right? So I wouldn't have made the choice. Like, one thing I'll say is, like, I would never have sold it if I was just cashing out, the way we want to do it, we're sitting going five times or whatever, and I got my magic number, goodbye, being selfish, which is a perfectly good right to do. I've spent 10, 12 years building these businesses. If I want to cash out and enjoy time with my family, I love you, but bye.
Yeah.
That's not the scenario that happened. So what I wanted to make sure is it went to these people. But the looking back, like you say, you sit thinking, maybe we should have. It's mostly the under evaluating the intricacies of actually doing it.
Right.
As it, Jason, you want to buy my company? And we're like, yeah, we're two dudes. I'm wanting this figure. And you go, no worries, dude. I'm all over that figure. I'm going to take this business and I reckon I'm going to make that money back. And this is going to be sweet. Like, great, epic, dude. It's sorted. How much money are we going to leave and who's going to pay for this little transition period? And then we just go, right, don't worry. How about you cover 5K and I cover 5K? Great. And then the first conversation you have costs 20K and you're like, oh, okay. I didn't realize it cost that much money to just do something between two friends.
Right.
So there's been a little bit of that. I would say that's the only other thing is all the stuff you can't control really, which is how much your legal fee is going to be. All the little intricacies of project management that you don't think about. Electricity crisis at the minute. Try and leave your electricity contract. Go on, try it. See how easy that is.
Well, see, I don't know about that because my electricity, my water is wrapped up into my my rent. So
Yeah, actually Callum's the same. So he was like, what? You have separate contracts? But he pays one rent and everything's included. So you can just leave all his heat and electric on and watch his landlord go, I'm making no money off of you. That's where I am. I have a landlord and then I have to sort everything out.
So. Right. So something you just brought up that we didn't kind of hit on that is the legal part of it, right? That probably a lot of people don't think of, right? They just think like you just said, like, hey, we're two friends. Okay. You hand me a check. I hand you keys, blah, blah, blah. Hey, have a good, deal or whatever, but it's not like that. So, I guess that's something else maybe that you would have to consider in the sale, if you're paying X amount of dollars, but you're also going to have to pay this lump of sum and legal fees on top of it, you might have to, negotiate that into, I guess, kind of the pricing or come to a happy medium. Like, hey, if it's, 20 grand to do whatever, like you were saying, right? That first conversation, like, okay, you take 10 and I'll take 10. And then, we'll just, take it off of the figure or whatever. Cause that's probably something people don't think about too.
And I'd advise it. Like I did it with both mine, even though they're both friends, it just shows that one, I'm not out to shaft you, and two, we're both covered. This is the deal we've stipulated. Like, okay, I know it's a handshake type thing, but we do need it on a piece of paper. Especially when you think of the caveat that at any point, and I hate bringing this up all the time, I could go in hospital for a long time. It just happened. And that was a big eye opener for me that I have been naively pushing to the back of my head all the time and just powered on for 12 years. I've had a good run. So that's, I needed that to be in there to know that they were covered, that if this happens, these are the systems we have in place so that you're still getting your side of the deal.
Right. Basically. Right. Yeah. All right, let's do our last commercial and then we'll see what the future of Alan looks like. Oh man, can somebody turn that down? Hey, I wanted to tell you how the Detailers Roadmap has increased leads and boosted my website's optimization on Google. The whole process from start to finish was a breeze, and the Detailers Roadmap staff was there every step of the way. They have a full team of writers and designers to communicate with during your development. And with the Detailers Roadmap, your site is built to convert and rank high on Google's main page. So go to detailersroadmap.com and start your new site design today.
Got it.
Yeah, it's all right. It was better than last week's, dude.
All right. Yeah, last week I
was just using that one, to be honest. I mean, isn't that being the original advert forever?
No. The original one was like the full-on, like super loud beginning part of the commercial. Well, this one's probably been like, I don't know, the last months or so. But Chris is telling me.
Question, but you've seen number two, right?
No, I haven't.
No, I haven't.
What? Yeah, comes I haven't
out on
seen
Paramount,
it yet.
Comes out on Paramount Plus on the 22nd. That's when I'm
Yeah, I'll just wait for it to watch it for free.
The podcast will reset.
No, it'd be cheap, man. Just wait.
Dude, I'm like you guys, but it's come out on like it's on UK Amazon Prime now. And I watched it and I was like, I didn't go because I was so busy. Like when that film launched, was in the midst of chaos for me, and I wanted to see it. And then I watched it at home, and like I don't have an Epic home cinema, and I was like, this would have been so good in cinema. It's a great, great movie.
Yeah,
has a small room. It only takes like 10 people in it. It's like a rich man's cinema, you know, like something that someone would have at home. And I'm just waiting until the day they do it, and I'll just book tickets and hope no one else turns up and just sit there with a beer like, yes. Oh, Alex is checked out. Alex
Freeze?
Right, Jason, what should we do? It's our podcast now.
Oh, yeah. See, what do you want to talk about? Look at
you
this.
You get to ask
Look
the questions that Alex is avoiding. Go on, ask the real questions.
Wow, how much money did you make? Did you make some good money? Did you profit?
All right.
Yes. Yeah. So, of course, it's not enough to stop working forever, but it cleared everything I needed to clear my name. And me and Sarah will be all right for a while.
Awesome.
That's cool. Apparently my internet completely froze up because all I heard was it's a rich man's, and then I come back in and you guys are having a conversation.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, you mustn't be at the level allowed to hear this.
I might actually have to go and edit now.
Why?
minute seven mark.
Why? You don't got to edit. I mean, we picked it right up.
Dude, well, we rolled with it. Two professionals in the game, right?
I understand, but I don't know if, because it's on my computer, if it's going to be the
if we didn't hear it, the audience didn't hear it.
Okay, hope so. Yeah, so whatever.
Now back to
Now back to the real stuff. So I didn't catch it. So what's in the future for so you said you're keeping the training thing, right? Like the training business, the mentoring and training business or whatever. So now are you just going to focus more on that side of it?
All right. So it's a little complicated.
Okay.
So both the companies have employed me to be like business development parts of the companies, and I still want to do that a lot. All right. So that I've kept my training business because it's my company, Sole Trader is me, so that we can have that cash flow. The complications come with all the contracts were done with me and those companies. So the moment I sell them, the contracts are gone. So I am still officially a Rupes trainer, but the Rupes Bigfoot Car Detailing Center and the Rupes sales contracts are now done and have to be re-signed as me, the trainer, not Alan, the guy who could sell to you, and Alan who has a detailing business is a Bigfoot Center.
Gotcha.
So I just wanted to cover that bit in case some people are like, where's all your Rupes stock gone? And where's all that? It's just the complications of life of rightfully so those companies protecting themselves going, hey, well, if that doesn't exist anymore, the contract's dead. So we need to just write a new one. We're just in that transition period. There's no hate. I love them. High five. And I'm sure it'll all get sorted soon enough. It's just the complications. I really want to put energy for a long time into more than detailing. I think now is the time. People are ready to consume that type of concept. but it's doing it in Alan's way, really. So I just got to work out what that is. It's a refreshing thing you don't think about now that these guys have bought it. Eventually, I will have more time. Eventually, remember, I do have two bosses now, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that quiet time at Christmas where I am quite privileged that I've built the business up to a point where I can chill out for a bit. I now have two bosses.
Yeah.
They're quite demanding, you know? Yeah. Ah, how do we do this?
Especially during Christmas time, yeah.
Yeah. So once we're through this transition period, it's going to take a while, 3-4 months. And I do very much want to still have a strong hand in both these companies. I should have more free time, which I would love then to do more than detailing and really drive it forward. So that will be growing the mentorship program, because at the minute I don't really want to grow it because I don't have the time to give,
right?
Which 2023 is going to give me. Because we haven't touched on it yet, but we have a little bit. When I go out to Mobile Tech, I'm actually handing over the presidency. So I'll no longer be the president of the IDEA. You just do it for a year,
yeah.
Which has had been the most epic year. But wow, they did me a good.
Did they?
They did me a good in the IDEA lot. Okay. So when I took on the presidency, we used to have our board meeting every Monday. And the first board meeting was, Mondays are not good for us. Can we move it to Thursday? And that might sound like nothing to you guys, but I literally booked out my entire, like, it was a commitment for me to be the president. Right. I wanted to make sure I could attend and I could do it. So I adjusted my entire family life around, you ain't going to have me any Monday nights.
Yeah.
And then they made it a Thursday. So it completely changed the diary with childcare, everything. And then I think I told you guys in the last podcast, my role is basically to watch everything that's going on and then piece it together and then hopefully put the right people in the right places.
Right.
You know, for me to be there and dictate what's going on, that was not what I wanted my presidency to be. My core goal was to connect with the members and let them know the work that is being done. It's not being done by me. Right. I run a meeting once a month. I kind of guide the start of the year what I think the goals should be. Every now and again, I get to stamp my foot like a little sissy, you know?
No!
But really, it's all the epic volunteers do their thing, and I just wanted to join that together. So I don't have that in 2023, so I have more time. I'm going to still stay with the IDEA and invest my time in my chosen committees. So now I'm only going to have really 3 calls a month rather than I could have 3-4 calls a week.
Right.
So now it's going to be, I have all that time. So I want to invest back in more than detailing, but really the next 4 to 6 months are going to be working out. What is it? What is this transition for the chemicals? What is the transition for the detailing, which is building Callum's brand over the two sites with a 3 to 4 year vision of consuming more sites. So he's got big visions and that excites me. And then there's the training side. Plus, rather unique phone calls happen when you sell your brand that was potentially a conflict with some of the people that wanted to work with you.
Yeah.
I always think it's really arrogant or whatever you want to call it, but apparently Alan Medcraft is a brand. The person is a brand. And when I associated it with a chemical brand, it created a conflict.
Right.
Not like a conflict as in we don't like you, just as in we don't work with companies unless we get sole rights, or we don't work with companies if they're already doing this, or kind of our two brands clash.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas now, yes, I still want to drive that forward and do whatever, but some people have already come forward saying, great, now will you just wear our t-shirt and do videos? You know, and it's just like, these are really fun opportunities that I'm not going to take right now, but it has opened up those doors and it's exciting for what the future might be.
Right. And that was kind of going to be like my last question for you is, you know, do you see, whether it's near future or, you know, a year or two down the line, that you just kind of wash your hands of, you know, your two bosses and say, I'm just going to focus on more than the details, where I'm just going to do trainings and mentorship. And if a company says, hey, Alan, we want to, you know, make it rain your way a little bit for you to wear our shirt and say our product is cool, like you could do that. And if this company says, hey, we're going to give you some cash and wear our shirt, you know, I mean, do you see that in the future? Or if you had your say in it, you would stay doing exactly what you're doing right now for as long as those two people will let you stay?
Yeah. So both of them are aware that at any point I could be gone, which was because of the medical line.
Right.
So we're building them in that way. I definitely still want to, I love the AM Details community, so I don't want to go anywhere. But how many hours does that really require a week for me to be engaged with them and developing product at a steady pace, you know, not a crazy accelerated pace? 10 hours a week. Callum and what he's wanting to do with Spotless, I think, is incredible. But I don't want to be hustling out machine polishing and doing crazy stuff 40 hours a week anymore. So I just want to build up a team and manage that. Will there be a point where he's kind of looking at me like, you're surplus to requirement now? You built this? If we don't have another site or something else to develop? I don't know. So at the minute, it's all very much, I want to stay with these guys, develop them, see where this goes. But Callum and I have talked about what's going to happen, like when I go to Mobile Tech. What's going to happen when Europe starts saying we want the president or now passing president to come and deliver a week's RUPES and an IDA training? Like, have I got to ask my boss for leave? Do I need to use leave for this? Right. Is that his money now? Is it my money? You know, so we have these little nuances that we're discussing, but we haven't really nailed down because those opportunities haven't come yet. And we're this close to Christmas and we're still nailing out the deal. So initially, I'm really pumped just to develop product again and make videos. I'll ask you too. So what do you guys think, right? But trying to think how we do this, because I have the AM Details brand social media. And Callum's not going to purchase that, obviously, because he's got Spotless Detailing. Now, he could and change it to Spotless Detailing. But then that's not what the customer base wants, right? So it's just like buying followers. Meh.
Yeah, yeah.
Heidi could purchase it because she has the brand. But again, a certain amount of that followership is only there for the detailing or for watching the silly videos or doing whatever. So I'm trying to figure out a way, how can I take the AM Details social media platforms, which in essence are what Alan's doing all day, and make them like Alan Medcraft? And then I get to just document what I'm doing. So if I'm working for Callum that day, they'll get to see videos of detailing in the shop. And hey, I'm down in Perth doing this for Callum. And hey, I'm in the Elgin branch today. And then when I'm doing stuff with Heidi, it's like, oh, hey, we're shooting a load of videos for this new product coming out. So I wanted to kind of do that with it. But you know, you guys are out there, you maybe consume our content. Would that seem natural to you? Seem like, nah, you're...
I think it would. If it was kind of more like a vlog kind of deal.
Yeah, so I think the social media platforms would all switch to almost being like a personal social media
platform. Yeah, that's all it's going to be. It's going to be Alan Medcraft now. That's it.
Yeah, because
you the know, one... with the arms crossed in the blue, you know that shot? That one I've been milking for about 10 years.
Yeah. Exactly. No, because I know, you know, some of the videos of yours that I've watched that stand out to me were definitely like your vlog ones, you know, like where you're, you know, hey, we're in the airport. Okay, now we're on the plane and here we're in the States and we're going to NTE or we're going to RUPES training or hey, I'm going to this place. Like those are, I think, a little more interesting because like you said, right? Like it's a day in the life of Alan, you know, versus, you know, and nothing against the guys who do it. It's, you know, car pulls in the shop. I'm going to wash it. I'm going to, I mean, like we all do that, right? Like everybody has it. You might pick up some different things. I mean, obviously watching some of Jim's videos, like I've kind of picked up some different techniques that maybe I didn't do or didn't know about or whatever, things like that. But at the same time, like I speed scroll through most of his videos because again,
did you just say that? A small tear just came out of Jim's
eye. I'm sorry, Jim. I mean, I still watch them. You know, if they're really good ones, I will, but like I'll speed scroll like
the ad revenue he's losing out on.
Yeah, no, because I see the ads because I listen. There's one thing by doing this podcast that I know. When I listen to a podcast, I listen to it start to finish. I don't skip ads. And if I'm watching a YouTube video, for the most part, I will watch the whole thing. Sometimes I have to speed scroll a little bit, but I will catch the ads because I know that's how.
I think that's going to happen when you're in the realm of 30 minutes to 1 hour.
Yeah,
it happens.
Right. Exactly.
You got to expect.
But when you, whether it's you or somebody else who does like kind of those day in the life, I mean, even Patterson just did the vlog for the Ring Brothers stuff, right? Like that was cool because it's like, you know, showing him and Kilmer, you know, where he picked Kilmer up and they're driving in the van to the Ring Brothers. And it's like, okay, this is, you know, we're going to do this and that. And then it goes, you know, kind of like, you know, speed accelerated, you know, through to show. So it's not just like drawing out, but I think those types of videos are more fun to watch because again, like I said, it's letting you into,
you're just a full-time content creator now.
Yeah. That's what that would be the dream.
That's
right?
What you
I'm not
are.
Gonna lie
that's
to
what
you.
You're gonna be. You're gonna be a full time content creator instead of a business owner.
It would be really cool that I make my dream, and I have nothing against everything I've done in the past. I love everything I've done. Would be that I literally document the crazy things I get to do. Like, it blows my mind that people
can do that.
Travel the world. Yeah. To teach them stuff that we were just talking about off air. Like, we were just having a little nuanced chat about the Rupes system, and, you know, we're mocking some of it and laughing, but I literally get paid to travel around and do that, and it blows my mind. I had an IDA training event in Elgin in Scotland. Not one person was from the UK. All of them had traveled in, flown in from South Africa, Saudi Arabia, Greece. People do that because of those vlogs. And then those, you know, those vlogs maybe, and I guess my charming annoyance
have
flagged me some pretty good opportunities in life where I've managed to, you know, work really hard to impress people. But then when I have, I've got some really cool opportunities out of it. And documenting that every day, I love. And what happened when I started doing that, you know, the channel took a little dip, but the engagement went up. And I think exactly you said, it's what people preferred rather than the sped it up. God, Alan, speak properly.
Right.
The detailing we just sped up. So those, like, I haven't done really solid content in 4 years, probably 5 years. Look at the channel. And I'm still running off what 5 years ago content, which is crazy. That shows you the power of YouTube and content creation, right?
Right. And I would even say, honestly, like, if you were doing more of like behind the scenes type stuff in a way, would probably, you know, like let's say you come here to like a Rupes training, right? And it's like, you know, you show a little bit of the class, but again, it's polishing paint, right? Like, we all do it, we all watch it or whatever. But then if it's like, you know, you and Jason kind of palling around, you know, in between, or, you know, like him picking you up from the airport, or you guys out to dinner, like, that stuff I think makes it a little bit better.
Did I ever go online? See, the issue we have is when I did that trip and then we did the podcast, thanks again for having me on that time. That was epic.
It was a blast.
Like, I was in a bad way. Like, I literally was only, what, 3-4 weeks out of hospital?
Yeah.
So I tried to video that content, and I'm not being self, whatever you call it, where you look at it and go, that's not going up, it's not good enough. It literally, I didn't film much content. So I was trying to think, right, can I sit at home and put it on a computer and like voice over or piece it together?
Yeah.
And I think I did it. Did that go online? I don't remember. If it never, we might put it up.
Yeah, because I mean, to me, and again, it's my opinion, take it for whatever you want, but like, that's the cooler stuff to me. You know, I mean, when I went to Gloucester University earlier in the year, like, the fun part of Gloucester University to me was kind of like the networking, right? So like, if you blog that type of stuff, it's almost like letting people in on a networking, you know, kind of deal.
Yeah.
Versus just showing paint.
I'd love to do that full time. Just film what I'm doing every day and have someone follow me. That's what I loved doing originally. Every day it was because I was detailing, and I just did it on a phone, so it was right there. And then maybe trying to go into posh cameras and microphones killed that, because that takes time to set up and do whatever. And I tried to get too swanky with it, but I had to do that. Why did I have to do that originally? Because I was traveling, vlogging. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, just do what Otterness does, man. Just hire a crew to follow you around and film and edit. And
the crew, dude, Otterness, the freaking legend, and I love him 100%. I remember I was doing a training or a talk show or something with him, and his response was, "We're now a full blown media company. We detail second."
Yeah,
he's like 100%. Because someone asked the question, I think, how important is YouTube and whatever. I think just before, someone had asked the question, like, "Oh, how do you handle the hate comments on YouTube?" And I talked about my positive intent answer and everything else, and.
Yeah.
Some people are like, I've never heard it like that, and how I flip it and generally sell something to the people that are being negative.
Right.
I think we were just talking about that, Jason, before, actually. And then someone said, well, how do you know how much YouTube to do, whatever? And Jason was like, I consider Chicago Auto Pros are now a marketing and media company, and we're a detailing company second. Like, that's how important content and showing. I love the fact that Jason's vlogging again. It's made me want to get back into it. I want to get to the point where we were, you know, 6-7 years ago, we were mocking each other and each other's vlog videos, where he was taking the mic out of my, hello, And I was like, what's up?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're getting ready to go to Australia to talk with Dale and the guys down there, Down Under
podcast. Oh, so good.
I'm excited to see what kind of video content they put out for that, because I think that would be a fun vlog style type thing for what they're doing.
I was really lucky. Jason and the guys flew me out for that first detail wise, where the Australians were there. Okay. And they were at our hotel and they were just like, oh yeah, and talking away, and I'm like, how the hell do two Australians know who I am?
Like, yeah.
I don't know, I feel like my American friends are just there, like, you're just a little hop over the water,
right.
Yeah. They're like all the way the other way, you know. Yeah. Like, I gotta go a whole lot of land to get there.
Yeah,
they were just like, you're the Allen guy. I was like, what? We got to meet them now. How crazy is this, right? So meeting them at that detail wise, they now sell our product in Australia, and Jason and the lads are going over to deliver a training in Australia, and I'm just like, this is just, I just love this whole, like I say, I don't know if it happens with everyone or if it's the type of person, but I'm very privileged to the position I'm in to see that all these connections you make become something. Now, they don't become something without hard work. I know that. You don't just speak to someone, something happens, but like, how cool is that? Like, 3-4 years ago, we were all talking at training session, and now they're all off to Australia.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Someone planted the seed to inspire those guys to go to back to Australia, where they were a car garage, and build a detailing business, and then build a detailing e-commerce business, and now flying detailers out to showcase the rest of Australia what can be done.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about it.
It's a crazy world. Crazy world. All right, Alan. Well, listen, I know it's getting late your way. Jason,
did I help you sell your business? Did we manage to do it?
Maybe. Jason's about 2 hours past dinner time, so I know he's an early bird special kind of guy.
I start cooking at 4 and eat at 5. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay,
I'm just jealous. I'm just jealous.
Yeah. So yeah, man, I appreciate you doing this. I mean, hopefully maybe, you know, it gave some ideas or some thoughts to, you know, if somebody wants to sell their business or thinks about selling their business, or hey, maybe somebody was not even thinking about it, but they'll hear what you said and go, man, I could really work towards that and maybe, you know, dump this turd here in a, you know, a year or two or something like that, if I work hard enough towards it, you know. Like you said, build to sell, right?
Like, I would just say, like, go and check that ebook out, Build to Sell. It's ancient. Yeah. I wish I could remember the guy that wrote it. I'm terrible at remembering authors. But go and listen to it. And then if you just build your business now as if you are going to sell it, it will make you think about systems. It'll make you think about, how do I make this look like an asset someone wants? And generally then,
right,
that's how you sell anything, because it puts you in the mindset for selling detailing, for selling yourself, you know, how do you, you know, etc. Yeah. Maybe for another podcast.
Maybe. And listen, we look forward to seeing you in a month's time or so at MTE. I hope you will find some time to stop by the booth and jump on the podcast with us while we're
For those that don't know, what are you doing at Mobile Tech, guys?
We are live podcasting in the Detailers Roadmap booth. It's gonna be fun.
Table cover that came in the other day.
We got a table cover. It could be the coolest, most fun thing in the world, or it could be an absolute shit.
Have you got
with me and Jason?
Dude, it's gonna be epic. I don't care.
Have you got a PA system going out so people can hear that walk by? Or is it
trying to?
I'm working on it. The thing I'm looking at is I'm trying to see if I can find like a small enough.
He wants a travel friendly system. Right, speaker that we're going to be going to SEMA and SDC.
So I want to find one that will be loud enough that as people walk by can hear, but small enough for travel. I need to talk to the cheerlead moms, because every time we go to a cheerlead contest, they're always dragging along these like little mini boom boxes. And we were just at a competition last weekend, and I mean, it was very noisy in there, and they had this little like 10-inch speaker boombox about, I don't know, 30-40 feet away from me, and I could hear it clear as day with all the like sound noise, and it looked like it was small enough that could go in a suitcase or something. So I've got to find something like that.
I did that at Wax Talk. I called it my Britney Spears headset on, and I was like,
yeah.
when everyone had a G1. Like, yeah. You're talking, this must have been like 7 years ago. Oh, beginning man. Alan in a G-Technic top. I think it was one of my first hired come and be a guy in a shirt type gigs, and I was G-Technic UK slapping G1 and C1 on cars. Nice. Live at Waxtop.
Yeah, so fun. I mean, we're trying to do that. We still got a couple of... I get to pick up a couple of webcams to, now that I figured out how to do multiple webcams on Restream through the same computer, I got to grab a couple of webcams so that we can show the guests on the sitting at the table.
It's going to be one main picture and then two of our guests. So you see all four of us or all yeah. three of us, yeah. and then you'll see just the two guests.
You need yeah. to have a chat with Rennie and the P&S crew. They do it, and even though they make it look massive, in a nutshell, it's exactly what you're saying. It's yeah. just simple speaker setup, a simple microphone, mixer, boom.
Yeah. I mean, I've got my mixer board's not simple, but I've got my mixer board. We've got the microphones. You know, there's little details that we still need to pick up before, you know, MTE. But for the most part, I think we've got everything locked down, and we're going to primarily just do Facebook and YouTube lives for the whole event. We'll try to record a couple of like legit ones that I can release like that week or whatever. But for the most part, it's just going to be live streaming most of the days, Friday and Saturday. Nice. So yeah, we're just going to try and grab people. We're just going to try and grab people to come and sit 10 or 15 minutes, do like a little catch up kind of thing or whatever. So that way people aren't sitting for too long. You know, they can still go around and travel, and in two, we can maybe get people out of their booths for 10 or 15 minutes, you know, with, you know, not leaving the booth, you know, unattended or whatever for too long, things like that.
This is going to be like what my first MTE was like, where I don't really have major commitments.
Yeah. Those are the best.
Cool.
Those are the best.
Yeah. I'm just going to be an MTE, just like a dude, like, hey, yeah.
just some guy walking around. Yeah, exactly.
I'm drunk 24/7. What?
Yeah. All right. Well,
I reckon we should have Chris.
I know Jason's got to go eat. So
where you stream onto every Detailers Roadmap website. Boop. Have a word with him. He can make that happen.
That's pretty yeah, cool. Yeah, exactly. Good idea, dude.
Chris right Thank now you. Is cursing my name on the live. He's like, no, Alan.
More work. Yeah. Thanks, Alan, for giving these assholes that idea. Yeah, exactly. All right, buddy. Well, listen, man. Again, as always, it was great talking to you. We need to have you on the podcast more. So now that you've freed up time,
if the people want me, I'll have people back. I enjoy listening to you guys all the time. Thanks. When I detail, I still tune in. So it's good.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And for everybody who's listening and not watching us on YouTube, he is rocking the Concaster t-shirt. So thank you for that.
Covering me and my daughter.
All right. Have a good night. Good evening. We'll
ciao.
Talk to you soon. Bye. Alrighty. So I know you got to go, so we'll make this quick, man. That's how to sell your business.
No, that's
maybe
cool.
If you're thinking about it.
That was a good episode. Very informative.
Yeah. Alan knows a lot, man. He's a lot smarter than he looks. So I appreciate him coming on. Good. Appreciate him coming on and talking. And again, man, I've been trying to get him on forever. I mean, I've had so many people, you know, like, you got to get Alan on. And I'm like, look, I'm trying. The guy's dodging my calls, telling me he's washing his hair or something like that. So, glad we finally got him on. So that's it. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. Go like, share, follow, subscribe, leave us a review. All that fun stuff. We had 5 listeners at one point on, or 6 listeners.
At one point.
Oh, 8. Oh, I didn't.
Yeah.
I only saw 6 was the highest. So that's awesome. So I don't know. That's it. We'll end the show there. Talk to you guys later.
Everybody have a good week and a merry fucking Christmas, because you won't hear me till next week, even though it's Monday.
Oh, yeah. That's right. My bad. So, yes, we aren't doing a Q&A. So this is, Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays, whatever, all that fun stuff. We'll see you next week for the call-in show. The Potty Awards will be given out.
Yeah.
Hope you guys are excited.
I'm so fucking pumped for that, man.
You guys are excited for the Potty Awards. I'm still working on some categories and winners and stuff like that. So that'll be next week's episode. So, all right, Merry Christmas. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.